name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hey, this is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. Welcome back. Sorry we were off last week. We just didn't know what to do. But eventually we sort of found our way back to the microphone. And before we get into the episode, we have some exciting announcements. First up is we are starting a new podcast. Me, Colby, and our friend Ariel. And I learned that it's very hard for me to say his name correctly because Minnesotans don't say A's the way that other people do. So I'm blaming it on that. But it's an accepted pronunciation. We've been over this. You may remember him from our game show month a few months ago. He played the game about The Rock. Is this movie better or worse with The Rock? That was a fun game. Yes. So we are starting an Avatar The Last Airbender rewatch podcast. If you remember way back when, we actually did kind of a first episode of that. Didn't really take off, but that's okay because we decided to do it again because Netflix is releasing all the episodes on May 15th. So 2 days after this episode premieres, all the episodes will be on and you can follow along with our new show called The Four Nations Report.
And the first episode of Four Nations Report will be on this feed, correct?
It will be, yes. I forgot that we were doing that, but yes, it will be. So we'll post the links in the show notes for you guys to listen, and you'll hear the first episode on this feed. And another general announcement, because we are focusing on this new podcast, The Four Nations Report, Martha and Colby is going to be going down to once a month, which is sad, true, but it's, you know, we're all working humans. Colby has two other podcasts, so this one and Never Made Varsity, and then Four Nations Report. Ariel has two other podcasts and the Avatar one, so it's just better, and we can focus on that for a while. And then we'll actually have good episodes once a month rather than just like...
Yeah, we want to... If it takes decreasing, because I'm Tweety Bird now, if it takes decreasing our quantity in order to have better quality, I think that's a trade-off that we are both willing to make.
Yes. So we hope you will stick around. It just won't be as often that you'll hear from us, but you could still hear us every week on the Four Nations Report.
And watch Avatar because it's so good.
Yes, which leads us into our question of the week. Colby, you want to hit it?
Have you seen Avatar The Last Airbender?
No, Colby, I haven't. That's why we're doing a rewatch podcast.
So the way the Four Nations Report is going to work is, or I guess the conceit of it is that both me and Ariel have both seen every episode of Avatar The Last Airbender. I have also seen every episode of Avatar The Legend of Korra. And Martha is going to be our fresh eyes, our fresh 2020 eyes.
I've been watching it week to week, so I don't know what happens. I did actually see an image from the book 3 that we may need to talk about because it felt weird to me. Everyone was just very old. I was like, oh, these kids grow up. It like didn't occur to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a... I mean, time passes in the show. It's not one of those where it's just static. It is serialized, and there is a story that moves forward in time, even though characters wear what they wear most of the time.
So one more time, before we say our social medias, you can find us at www.fournationsreport.com and on Twitter at @4NationsReport. And you'll see the first episode on your feed as well, if... It's you know, it's probably going to come out before this one. So you can find me on Instagram at @RealMarthaRiley for the question of the week. Colby, where can we find you?
You can find me at @ColbyComplains on Twitter, at @ColbyComplains on Instagram, and on the Four Nations Report podcast feed. So this week, we are back on our Disney Plus bullshit. We are going back into the archives of Disney Plus and pulling out one of these gems that may have been forgotten to time. This week, we did watch The Shaggy D.A., the sequel to the 1959 movie, The Shaggy Dog.
Yes, we did watch it. And if you remember back when we did Sammy the Way Out Seal, we did actually do a poll and The Shaggy D.A. was really close to winning. So this was our runner up. This movie is directed by Robert Stevenson. He directed Old Yeller, Mary Poppins, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
And The Love Bug. Like, this dude was, like, cranking out hit after hit after hit.
I think his page said he did 19 movies in 20 years. Unfortunately, The Shaggy D.A. was his last movie. And I say that unfortunately because The Shaggy D.A. is a bad movie. So it's not a great legacy to have that being your last movie. But he did have some pretty, you know, big hits in there, too. So I'll give it to him.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Not good at all. But first... Since this is our second one of these movies from the past, remind everyone what you thought of Sammy the Way Out Seal.
I thought it was cute. I don't know if I loved it. It's been a while since I've watched it, but I remember thinking it was cute. I did appreciate it that it was short. Like, now that I watched The Shaggy D.A., which was about an hour and a half, and then Sammy the Way Out Seal was like under 50 minutes, I think. I appreciate the amount of plot that you can have in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I liked it more than you did. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was cute. It did what it had to do, and I'm fine with that. Let's talk about The Shaggy D.A.
A quick summary of The Shaggy D.A. is, and this is from the Disney Plus page, it says, Wilby Daniels, a successful lawyer running for district attorney, suddenly finds himself transformed into an English sheepdog. Somehow he has to keep his change a secret and find out just what it... I can't read it. I can't read it, seriously.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Somehow he has to keep his change a secret and find just what is causing it, all while eluding the local dog catcher. I would say the local dog catcher is actually the least of his problems in this movie. The number one problem is the fact that he turns into a dog that can talk and has feelings and can drive and can sing.
Sing pretty well, actually. Like, dog has pipes. Let's talk about our familiarity with the Shaggy Dog franchise, right? So, like we said, there's the 1950s movie, The Shaggy Dog, and there's a 2006 remake of The Shaggy Dog. I have not seen the 50s version. I have seen the 2006 version.
Honestly, I thought that that was what we were watching today. I did not realize this movie did not have Tim Allen until I started it.
Which is, I was very confused. You were like, there's no Tim Allen in this movie. I was like, did you think there was going to be a Tim Allen in this movie?
I did think there was going to be Tim Allen.
Tim Allen, who apparently, I have not watched this movie in a long time, played a district attorney in the 2006 version. So
there are some differences from the 2006 version, from what I remember and from what I looked up. But so initially when the movie started, I did have high hopes because it starts out with this really cool song. And I was like, oh, song. That was good.
And I put in my notes, I was like, please let this be a musical because I will actually really dig this movie. Like, the song was good. The animation was fun. It was bouncy.
Yeah. And another one I wrote is I was like, they really don't make movies like this anymore. Like, truly, they don't make humanoid animal movies anymore. But so the movie starts out and you find out that, you know, there's these movers in front of a house, and we find out later that that house belongs to Wilby Daniels.
Wilby Daniels from the original Shaggy Dog, who turned into a dog a bunch in that movie.
Would this movie have been less problematic if we had seen the original?
I don't think so. Like, I think I could be like perfectly aware of the first movie, and still this movie would make no goddamn sense.
Right. Okay. I don't know. I don't plan on watching the original either. So this is all we got of the Shaggy Dog universe, the SDU. So you find out that his house has been robbed by these movers, and he calls the police, and the police are like, can you call back? We're a little busy right now. And I was like, yo, you're the police. Like, you should probably work on that.
Screw 12.
Yeah. And so that sort of spurs his momentum into running for district attorney. And Colby, I wanted to ask you, like, what's your preferred government office if you had to run for something? Oh my goodness,
can we not do this again? I would love if we couldn't do that again. But, this dude will be, he legit had his blanket stolen off of him while he was sleeping. It's like,
listen. Yeah, these robbers were savage. Like, they just went for everything. Like, the clothes off their backs.
I am not into victim shaming. I'm an ally. But, my guy, they literally, you were sleeping and they took the blanket off of you.
Yeah. I said, wow, this is cold. Literally taking the clothes off their backs. That was my note. So, and we talked about this movie, you know, it was made in 1976, but it really feels older. Like, it feels like it could have been the 50s.
How do you feel about movies where, like, a person turns into a dog or a person turns into an animal? Like, that genre, that man-to-beast genre.
Can you give me an example? Because the only other thing I can think of is
Beauty and the Beast. I don't know, stuff of that ilk.
I don't have a problem, I think, but what I... Like, Beauty and the Beast was fine. I think it's okay when animals are like sentient beings and they can talk and have personalities like within the animal realm. Like, I'm thinking like The Secret Life of Dogs. Like, they can talk and stuff. Or The Secret Life of Pets, sorry. But they're not humans. And that's the weird part of this movie, because at some parts, I didn't know if it was a dog or if it was just a human covered with hair, because they looked very similar to me.
Oh, there are times in this movie where the dog literally is wearing clothes and walking upright like a human.
Yeah.
It's very unsettling.
There's a scene where there's a dog in the dog in the trench coat and he's like pedaling a bike. And I was like, what is going on? Like, that was the point when I lost it. So basically what happens and sort of why he can turn into a dog is they found this ancient ring that was stolen from a museum. And there's a curse on there's Latin words on the ring. And they read the Latin inscription and then he turns into a dog.
Which is the same conceit as the movie that precedes it.
So they found the ring again, and he starts turning into a dog the first time when the election people or, like, the news people are at his house because they, like, want to interview him for the district attorney position and, like, put him on the news. But during that scene, I wrote in my notes, oh, my God, I'm yelling.
It was the effects maybe in 1976 may have been groundbreaking. But I doubt it, because this dude also worked on Mary Poppins, which still looks great. This movie does not look great.
Like, overall question, how did this movie get greenlit? I mean, I think I read that it was the most commercially successful Disney movie up to that point or something, which is fascinating to me. I should ask my parents if they remember this movie. But basically, he turns into a dog, and then he, like, has to run out, and then he comes back in after he, like, is a dog, and he is, like, sweating. And I'm like, I am uncomfortable. Like, he's, like, panting for air, trying to talk to these newscasters. I don't know. It felt very weird. Just extremely weird. I felt very unsettled this whole time watching this movie. And I feel like I don't even think I'm, like, being dramatic. I think it was truly very fucking weird. I don't know.
No, it's super weird. And I don't know where I was trying to go with, like, the human monster, human animal thing is, I feel like when this stuff happens, Princess and the Frog, that's another one. It's like when the human turns into an animal, they have to do something, like, righteous or do something good and able to turn back into a human again. And it looks like before they did that, like, they were being, like, a bad person. And to my knowledge, it looks like Wilby was just being like a dad. It's like his kid was being a little annoying because the kid was like staring at him and like wouldn't stop asking him weird questions, which like, I mean, that's like 10-year-old behavior, but it wasn't like he was being abusive to the kid. It's like, shut up and stop staring at me like a weirdo. It's like, I don't think that deserves being turned into a dog. And I'm not sure if as the movie comes forward or went forward, if he learned anything from this dog experience. I think this movie could have been exactly the same if he was never a human and was just a dog.
Yes, but I also don't think it was the type of movie that needed to be anything more than it was. Like, I don't know if there was supposed to be a deeper meaning. Would you stay as a dog if you turned into a dog and you had the option to turn back? Like a werewolf, I guess. That can be like another like human to beast type thing.
Would I stay as a dog? No. I mean, I feel like of the animals to turn into. It's why, like, in The Lobster, you're like, yeah, everyone wants to turn into a dog. Because dogs have pretty good lives if you have, like, a human, but, like...
Man, we should watch The Lobster instead. That was a way better movie.
And Lobster is so good. If you want to watch a movie about someone turning into an animal, you should watch The Lobster. But I'd go back human for sure.
Continuing on, basically, there's a couple of key plot points in the movie. You know, they have the ring. He turns into a dog. He turns out of a dog. There's one scene where they try to make him sing, but oops, it was actually the real dog instead of him.
Yeah, there's also a real dog. It's like,
yeah,
he turns into someone else's dog.
Yeah, so like, where does the spirit of that dog go?
Like, yeah, is it like Get Out? Where he goes into the dog and now he is, and there's this like a repressed dog soul like looking up and seeing his actions being pulled through. Like, what is this movie?
I think one important thing to note is that he can also talk to other dogs while he is a dog.
Which came out of nowhere.
Yeah, because that wasn't the case at the beginning. Because, okay, at the beginning he gets trapped in this doghouse. And he's like, hey, let me out, like, as a dog to the other dogs. And the other dogs don't respond to him. And then at the end of the movie, he's in a pound.
There are full-blown conversations.
Yeah. They're, the dogs are people, or, like, not people, but they're other dogs that can talk. And I think the weirdest part, and that's saying something, the weirdest part about this movie is that they're at the pound, and the dogs are like, oh, that guy's next. One of the dogs, and they start singing Swing Low Sweet Chariot because he's about to die. And I was like,
it turned into the Green Mile for like a solid like 15 minutes. Like, All Dogs Go to Heaven mash up with the Green Mile halfway through this movie.
And then he like gets out of, you know, the pound and he's fine.
I mean, you skipped over my favorite part of the movie where when he's a dog and is being found out by his opponent, who's also running who's the incumbent district attorney, that he is turning into a dog sometimes. He's running away, and one of the guys, like, starts to catch him and then uses his dog fist to punch the guy in the face. That won me back into the movie for about 10 minutes, and then I was out again.
I think I was just very disconcerted overall by, like, the appearance of the dog, because it was very well done, I think, in the sense that he did look like a dog, but I just didn't know if it was a dog or a human, and that I was like, what is happening? And that's the one takeaway from this episode is what is happening in the Shaggy DA. Apparently, so yeah, I talked about this earlier, but at that point, it had been the most profitable film produced by Walt Disney Productions and heavily influenced the studio's live-action film production for the next two decades.
Which is why Disney was struggling going into the Disney Renaissance, I have to imagine. It's just a weird, like, I don't, like, this is, I was talking to Martha, I was like, I don't know what to say about this movie. Like, it is so, it's strange, it's unsettling, it's boring.
It is boring. I was like, is this movie done yet? I don't even know if I know what happens in the last 20 minutes, because I think I just stopped watching. But, you know, it's quarantine, we're all being pushed to our limits, so just think of it as we are doing this favor for you. Watching the Shaggy DA.
You're watching it for you, so you don't have to.
Right. What would you rate the Shaggy DA overall on a scale of 1 to 5 stars?
1 to 5 stars? Like 1.5? Like 35 out of 100? Yeah, 1.5. Like it's not totally without merit, but it's mostly without merit.
Well, okay, so here's my thing. Like, when I first saw Cats, I actively hated it. Now I love Cats.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, no, I gave it 1.5 stars in my Letterboxd, actually.
I thought you just... I unabashedly love Cats.
No,
like,
I think it's great now, but it took me a while to, like, get around to it. I don't know if I like hate this movie as much as I hated Cats. I just think I literally don't have an opinion on it because it's not worth my time to formulate an opinion on it.
It's really not. And like, that's the difference between like watchable bad.
Yeah.
Or like what people say, like good bad movies and like bad bad movies. This is a bad bad movie.
Right.
Like, it's not fun to watch and make fun of. Like, it's a slog to get through. Whereas something like Cats, like, I like Cats. I recognize that it is not a well-made movie. It's just not. But it's entertaining as all hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have a wonderful time. You can watch it alone and have a great time. You don't even have to have, like, people there. This movie doesn't offer enough to, like, make fun of for me to hate it. I can't hate it. What is there to hate? There's nothing there.
Yeah, there's like truly just, I'm going to forget about this tomorrow until the episode comes out and then I'll remember, but...
It's an empty husk of a movie. Like, it is, I feel like this movie wants to be something. Like, I don't even think that kids would be entertained by this.
I don't think so either. I think they'd be like, oh, cute dog. And then that would be it. But there's other cute dog movies that they could watch that are better.
Better. That'll probably hold their attention better. Like,
yeah.
Even if you were a parent and you just need 90 minutes to yourself, you have to put something on that involves a dog that'll keep your kid occupied while you, like, sit in a bathtub for a while. This is not that movie.
No. It's... Yeah, God, like...
Maybe if you put that animation from the beginning with the song and put that on a loop for 90 minutes, that is more likely to keep your kid occupied than the other 84 minutes of this movie.
You know what this reminds me of is, like, all the pilots of TV shows that you've never seen. They, like, put the energy into produce the pilot. For whatever reason, it didn't make it to the air. But this is the one that did. Even though there were probably, like, better movies to make. That's what this feels like to me, is that they maybe needed something. Robert Stevenson was like, yo, I'm about to die soon. I want to leave out on a good note. The Shaggy DA is my ticket to the Disney gates of heaven. Because they probably exist. There's probably Disney property in heaven. I just, like, I don't think I have anything else to say on this movie. I think I'm done.
Did you see... that the original Shaggy Dog was more profitable than Ben-Hur?
Oh my God. No.
Listen, kids' movies are a racket. Why are we doing this podcast? Why aren't we churning out kids' content? Like, that's literally, like, YouTube channels.
Yeah, why aren't we? Why don't
we? There are YouTube channels that are, like, nonsense. That is colorful and loud, and children love it. And they make literally millions of dollars on a nothing budget. Why are we not doing that?
This reminds me of when you told me that all movies made past 2011 or like before 2011 are trash and
they're bad movies.
This is one I have to agree with you. Let's close the book on the Shaggy DA. It's a bad movie. I don't have anything else to say other than I don't think you should watch it. But what are some other things that you could watch during quarantine that are good? Like, what's a good movie that you've seen recently? Maybe we could talk about that. Let's end on a positive note.
Yeah, let's end on a positive. So I don't know about movie. Oh, well, I watched You Framed Roger Rabbit for the first time.
Oh, I haven't seen that in a long time. Did you like it?
I really liked it. I guess I was expecting more slapstick, more just like silly stuff. Which is like fine. Like if that's what you're into, I love some good slapstick every now and then. But this movie had a lot. It sticks on your ribs, you know? Like it had more substance than I thought it would. It had actually some striking commentary of like mistreatment of marginalized individuals in like 1980s Los Angeles, or I guess 1950s Los Angeles, like the privatization of public transport in Southern California. Like, I was not expecting Who Framed Roger Rabbit to be as good as it was. It's also on Disney Plus. Oh. So if you are able to watch the Shaggy DA, then you are able to watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and you should watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast, but just in case I haven't, I have a movie club with my friends. We call it the JLM Movie Club, and we sync up a couple times a week and we watch movies. We did it a good amount before quarantine, but honestly, like, we do it way more now. Like, before, I think we'd probably try to do like once a week. Now sometimes we do like four times a week. So we're invested, but I'll share some of the movies that we've watched recently. We did an animation week, which was fine. I picked Ratatouille. I don't recommend that.
Ratatouille's a good movie.
It actually is not. It doesn't hold up.
I very much disagree. I think it 100. I'm a fan of Brad Bird.
When was the last time you watched it?
A couple years ago.
Well,
a couple years, that's not like, it's not like I was 10. It's like, I was like 22, 21, 22. I'm 23 now.
Fair. Yeah, I don't think it held up for me, but
I don't know. I'm a Brad Bird fan. I like his movies.
No, me too. I think he's great. I don't think, like, it just creeped me out a little bit. We had a Keira Knightley week where we watched some of her movies.
Wait, I want to hear more about Animation Week.
Oh, yeah, so we watched Ratatouille, The Little Mermaid, and then we watched one called Your Name, which is a Japanese anime film. That was really cute, actually. If I recommend watching that.
I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, so basically, they, like, two strangers sort of wake up in each other's bodies, and they're sort of on the, like, hunt to find each other. And it's good, and it has a good twist, I think. So Keira Knightley week, we did Pride and Prejudice, Atonement, Pirates of the Caribbean. So that was good. Pirates of the Caribbean, not as good as I remembered, unfortunately, but still good.
I've tried like 5 or 6 times. I've never finished it.
It's okay. That's fine. There are better things to watch. Then we did a Carrie Mulligan week. We watched An Education, which was fantastic. Far From the Madding Crowd. And then we did The Great Gatsby, the Leo DiCaprio version. That was okay.
I like it better than the book.
Yeah. Interesting. And then we are currently in the midst of a Reese Witherspoon week. So we'll usually pick an actor or we have a theme. As you can tell, I think we're going to do like hometown movies one week where it features a movie about our state.
A movie about North Carolina, huh?
Well, yeah, I don't know about you, but, Purple Rain for Minnesota. We watched Legally Blonde, which, absolutely fantastic movie, will always hold up in my mind. There's like maybe a couple off things, but really, really good movie. Then we watched Sweet Home Alabama, which, It was cute. It was like a fine rom-com. I didn't love it. And then I think we're going to watch Cruel Intentions sometimes this weekend. So
does the Hunger Games count? For North Carolina, it was filmed here.
No, it has to be about... Well, okay, so I guess... So our friend Lily lives in Washington, and she was going to pick an officer and a gentleman because that was filmed around her hometown. And Purple Rain obviously takes place in Minnesota. Jeff lives in New York, so he's unlimited choices, basically.
I guess I could do Bull Durham.
What's that about?
It's a baseball movie set in Durham, where I live now. And also, fun fact, our minor league team are the Durham Bulls.
Fun fact indeed. Yeah, so in conclusion, there are lots of things to watch during quarantine. Log on to Disney Plus, log on to Hulu, HBO. There are so many streaming services.
Netflix, whichever one of you wants to give us money. Quibi.
We encourage you to...
Especially Quibi.
Hey, I downloaded Quibi for a day. I think it's still on my phone, actually. I gotta make sure I cancel that. I didn't watch anything on it. I watched 30 seconds of...
You didn't watch Chrissy's Court?
No, I watched 30 seconds of Sophie Turner's show, and I was like, can't do it. Nope.
I feel like if I had Quibi, I would be doing the thing where it's like... Because so for those of you who don't know about Quibi, this new streaming service is coming out.
It's already out.
Or it's already out, whatever. The gimmick is that you can either watch it vertical or horizontal, and like however you switch your phone, like it'll change. I feel like I would just be flipping my phone to vertical from portrait to landscape over and over just to see how stuff changes.
Yeah, but nothing does. Like it didn't really look like there was a huge difference to me. So it's kind of like flipping a spreadsheet. Like I had to open up a Google spreadsheet on my phone and you can see more columns or you cannot. It's not like super cool when you flip it. It's just more of the screen. Anyways, find what you want to watch because we are just humble podcasters and we don't hold all the answers to what you want to watch during quarantine.
Believe it or not, podcasters do not have all the answers.
But if you need suggestions, you can find us, you know, Real Martha Riley on Instagram, Colby Complains on Twitter, MarthaandColby.com.
Literally, if you tweet at me, I will give you a movie recommendation.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Martha and Colby Grow Up. As a reminder, this is our last and only episode this month. We will be hanging out on Four Nations Report, so check us out over there, and we'll see you next month. Find us online at www.marthaandcolby or on Twitter and Instagram at Martha and Colby.
Thanks to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon.
Literally, if you tweet at me, I will give you a movie recommendation.
Yeah, we'll find something for you. We take care of our listeners. Anyways.
We still don't know how to end this podcast.
I was about to end it. You just started talking.